Would you turn with me this evening, friends, to the New Testament, to Paul's epistle to the Romans in chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Let us hear the word of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. If, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. And the Lord will bless his word to our hearts. Now, that last week, if you remember, we posed this question: how can I have peace with God? How can I have peace with God? And we can pose that question again tonight to our text here before us. This phrase, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This, Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. In many ways, it's a summary of the glorious gospel of redeeming grace. It's the real gospel. It's a genuine gospel. It's a gospel that shows us the emphasis. Man is a stranger, is ungodly, is an enemy of Almighty God. That may not sit well with some, but as we saw last week, that's the truth. If you read as we read in that chapter 5, you read how God describes the sinner. A sinner? Can we use those words in these days? Are we allowed to use those terms? Well, we've just sung, welcome, welcome, sinner here. Hang not back through shame or fear. Doubt not, nor distrust the call. Mercy is proclaimed to all. A sinner. And friends, unless we can accept that we're sinners before God, we'll never seek a saviour. It's very simple in many ways. So many people try and complicate the gospel. Others try to oversimplify the gospel. But if I were to simplify it or to summarise it, it's how a sinner becomes right with God. How God can declare peace with a sinner. How God can seal a peace treaty with guilty sinners. We're the ones who've offended God, because he is holy and just and pure and righteous, and his standards are not man's standards. And we can never, mankind, puny little man, always tries to bring God's standards down to somewhere where they can manage. It's not like that. God's standards are supreme, are perfect, are without impeachment. Mankind is always trying to decry God, to bring God down to their level. But God does something extraordinary in the gospel. He brings sinners into fellowship with himself. He brings sinners from the far corners of the world and every nation of the world, people who have been called of God and heard the gospel call and received the truth of God and repented of their sins. They have been brought into the family of God. Friends, I know to be a sinner sounds in some ways shameful, and it's true. To be a sinner before God is a shameful thing. But God has a way of dealing with our shame and our guilt and our offensiveness. And it's all in his lovely Son, Jesus Christ. In some ways, we need to remember this. Mankind is not at peace with God. Mankind is at war with God. Mankind shakes the fist at God. Mankind calls God all manner of names. The real God, I mean. But mankind is impotent, weak, and mortal. And this is the thing that we need to grasp. When God justifies the ungodly, when God justifies the sinner, it's a marvelous thing. It should be shouted from the rooftops. It should be sounded forth on every social media page we have, or whatever you call yourself, they call them now, profile. Therefore, having been justified by faith, the answer is in the question. How can I have peace with God? By faith. Faith in Christ. Faith alone in Christ. Faith without works in Christ. How little people understand this today. But how much this gospel changed, transformed Europe in the time of the Reformation. In the 1500s, people had a religious bent, and they had a religious mind, and they had a superstitious approach to life in Germany. But God raised up preachers who preached the truth, who declared the truth, who rediscovered the truth. That justification by faith alone is not a new novelty from the 1500s. It's the real gospel. It's the whole gospel. It's the true gospel. It's the full gospel. I don't know if you realize, this weekend, a certain British Prime Minister would have had his birthday. Perhaps the most famous British Prime Minister of all, Winston Churchill. He is credited with leading Britain to victory in World War II. However, we need to know our history to realise that Britain would never have beaten Nazi Germany and its allies without the involvement of the United States of America. But nonetheless, Winston Churchill is noted for his oratory and his speeches. And you've probably heard some of these recordings. He was also noted for something else. He was noted for his peace sign, his V sign. And this, of course, was a sign that he would achieve peace. And when peace was finally ratified, after the World War II had been settled, both in the Western Hemisphere and in the East, the peace was real. But it hasn't lasted. There have been wars since. And there will be wars, I believe from Scripture, that will go on until Christ returns. There's always going to be wars and rumours of wars. There's always going to be conflicts. Now, thankfully, there hasn't been a World War III. Otherwise, I don't know if anyone will be around to witness it. I'm thankful for that. But this word gospel, it involves peace, it involves faith, it involves forgiveness, it involves salvation. What is this word? It's a word that's used in the church. We have a gospel service. We preach the gospel of redeeming grace. But have we any idea of what it means? Gospel, well, is a word that means good news. Good news for guilty sinners. Good news from God. Good news that sinners can be forgiven and right with God. In ancient times, a gospeler was a man usually who was a messenger who came from a far distant land and announced a victory had been won. Well, in some ways, friends, we have a gospel to preach and to proclaim. That victory has been won. A mighty victory. A glorious victory. A victory over sin, death, hell, Satan, and all the enemies of God. This gospel is the gospel of God's grace to guilty sinners. And it's a message of hope in a hopeless world. It's a message of certainty in an uncertain world. It's a message of peace in a world that lacks peace. It's a message of joy in a joyless world. This gospel is so important. That's why we have emphasis on the gospel. Now let me just very quickly come to the meat of the matter, as they put it. Look at this word, justified by faith. If you remember last time, we took a definition from one of the catechisms, but let me give you another one. Justification may mean to count righteous or to make righteous. Now, what does this mean in this text? Does it mean to make righteous? To make holy? To make just? Or does it mean to count righteous? To account someone as righteous? To declare someone as righteous? Which court should it be in? Should it be in the holiness or sanctification court? Or should it be in the legal court? Well, anyone who knows the true gospel will say it should, of course, always be in the legal court. This word, to be justified by faith, is from the words of a legal transaction. It's a forensic declaration. It's a declaration by God. The Catechism puts it like this: justification is an act of God's free grace, wherein he pardoneth all our sins and accepteth us as righteous in his sight only for the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. So there's three aspects there. God pardons us all our sins, not most, all. He accepts us as righteous in his sight, not semi-righteous, not almost righteous, and that only on the basis of that the righteousness of Christ is imputed to us. What can man do to earn this justification? Nothing. Who does God justify? The righteous? No. The unrighteous. The godly? No. The ungodly. The sinless? No. The sinner. And this phrase, justification by faith alone, I want us tonight, if you remember last time we saw a graphic description of who needs to be justified. That was from the next part of this text from verses 6 to verse 11. And then we saw the grounds of peace with God, and that's justification by faith alone. But tonight I want us to look at the gift of this peace with God, or the gift of justification by faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone. It's a gift. And we need to realize this. We have peace with God. In Romans chapter 3 and verse 24, the Apostle Paul uses this phrase, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justification by faith alone is a gift. It's freely given. It's of God's grace. It comes forth from God's grace, God's generosity. God's grace cannot be earned. God's grace is the demonstration of his, he gives this justification as a demonstration of his grace. When you're given a gift, you don't think, well, how am I going to earn this gift? You just take it. And that's the whole point. We're justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Justified freely. What a word. To be justified freely by Almighty God. Every other religion on the planet is about works righteousness. Some form of works righteousness. If you talk to dear people from a Hindu religion, they will never be justified by grace. They always have to work. They have to do something. They have to earn something. And sadly, many of them believe they have to come back as something else. But the gospel of God's grace, the Christian gospel, the gospel that revolutionized the United Kingdom and the Western world, the gospel that transformed the preaching of God's word, the gospel that had an effect upon communities that, by and large, were heedless of their sin, is the gospel of grace. It's a gift. It's a gift. God freely, generously grants justification, or he declares the sinner forgiven and pardoned. And he declares the sinner, more than that, righteous. And it's all of grace. From beginning to end, it's all of grace. Let me read it, put it like this. In chapter 5, the Apostle Paul is speaking about peace specifically with God. But he uses this little phrase, therefore being justified. It's done. The transaction has been ratified and declared. The term is a legal term. Basically, it means to receive a verdict of righteousness, that we are guilty before God, but God declares us righteous, that we receive justification by faith in Christ alone, by faith, by faith. Where do we get this faith from? That's a gift from God as well. We'll never be justified by works. We're justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the important thing. Unless we're justified by faith in Jesus Christ, we're never justified at all. That's a gift. And friends, we need to make this very plain and very simple. Without justification by faith alone, there's no salvation. There's no forgiveness. There's no pardon. There's no gospel. There's no gospel. Some of us grew up in a religious background. We were told our good works were good enough. Well, it would take a long time, but our good works eventually would outnumber our bad works. And if we were good religious boys and girls, then we could get our way not into heaven, but into purgatory. The halfway house. Of course, that's not fashionable today, but that was very current in my time. Every little boy and girl who went through their Holy Communion had to know that they were not good enough, but they could be good enough. They just needed to work hard. They needed to pray to the saints. They needed to make sure that they were at the Mass as much as they could. But that's not justification by faith alone, is it? That's justification by your own self-righteous religious works. When we discover that God justifies the ungodly, now that's a different matter. God has made a way of peace available to sinners to be declared righteous. And how has he done it? Well, the Catechism summed it up, didn't it? There's that little word, imputation, or imputed, to account to us something that isn't ours naturally. The old writers speak about an alien righteousness. Of course, alien nowadays means something completely different. Alien in their time meant that it's not of our nature. It's different from us. It's different from human righteousness and man's righteousness, which of course the Bible says is flawed anyway. No. To be accounted righteous before God is not on the basis of our righteousness. It's on the basis of Christ's righteousness. And what is this righteousness? Is it Christ's divine righteousness as the eternal Son of God? Well, some of us might have thought so. Ah, but friends, we need to remember the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth. He lived on this earth for over 30 years. He lived here in this world. For 33 years he was here living and breathing and acting. He lived as a God and man in one person forever. And as he lived a life that you and I could never live. He lived a perfect, holy, righteous, sinless, pure life. He never had a stain on his conscience. He never had a sinful thought or a sinful inclination or desire. He was utterly perfect. He was impeccable, says the old language. There was no sin in him, and there was no sin found in him. And he alone declared from ancient times was the one who was the Lamb who was sent who would be spotless and perfectly righteous. The life our Lord Jesus lived as a man being God was on our behalf. Adam, as you discover in chapter 5 of Romans, failed the only test he was given. If he had to keep the righteous standards of God, as we learned last week, then all mankind will be righteous. But God had already prepared a way for sinners to be forgiven, and it was through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's his righteousness we need. And it's Christ's righteousness that is accounted to us. and it's Christ's righteousness as a perfect, sinless man, being God, that God accounts and God imputes to guilty sinners. This is so important. Some people think that they can work their way into God's favor. Other people think that God will justify me if I'm good enough. Neither is true. God justifies the ungodly on the basis of imputing Christ's holy righteousness upon us. This does not happen in our experience. We don't feel all this happening. This happens in the courts of God. But we know the effect of it, because God justifies us freely by his grace, or as in Romans 5:1, we're justified by faith. We have peace with God. It's a gift. And it's a gift from Almighty God. And because it's a gift, it's freely offered here tonight. You don't need to buy this gospel. You can't buy this gospel. It's freely offered to you in Christ. Christ is the essence of this gospel. And in him, we're justified by faith alone. And in him, his righteousness is imputed to us. Or as I said last week, the great exchange. God takes our sin and lays it upon his Son. And he takes Christ's righteous life of obedience as a fully perfect, sinless man, and he accounts it to us. And the place this happened was at Calvary. That's why Paul exults in Calvary. He rejoices in Calvary. He declares the cross again and again. He sees the cross in so many ways, because it's there and there alone can a sinner be welcome, and a weeping penitent can know the grace of God. Freely justified by his grace. It's a gift. But the other thing, I want you to notice this. God grants peace to those who were at once war with him. God grants a peace treaty to those who are not equals. God does it. God grants peace to those who were hell deserving, on their way to a lost eternity, to eternal hell. How sad that many are tempted and enticed away from this great truth. God does it. Or let me read the most famous thinker of all, John Bunyan. He puts it like this. He says, grace can pardon our ungodliness and justify us with Christ's righteousness. Grace can put the Spirit of Jesus Christ within us. Grace can help us when we are down. Grace can heal us when we are wounded. Think about that, friends. That's the gift. But look at lastly, and very quickly, at the guarantee. The guarantee. Therefore, having been justified by faith. That's in Romans 3, of course. Being justified freely by his grace. In chapter 5, it's therefore being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This justification has effect throughout all of time and eternity. Yes, it's been transacted by God, but its effects go on and on and on and on. It's a guarantee. There might be someone here tonight that senses the condemnation of their own conscience. God says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with him through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can God guarantee this? Because he's God, but also because he's ratified, or he has declared this peace with our souls through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. One man puts it like this: his peace is only known and felt in fellowship with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power and influence of the Holy Spirit. That's the peace with God. There is, of course, the peace of God, but that's not what we're focused on here. It's peace with God. Now, let me say it, put it like this, in three very short sentences. First of all, there's no condemnation for those who are justified by faith alone. Romans 8, verse 1. There is no condemnation for them that are in Christ Jesus. That are in Christ Jesus, united to Christ Jesus. There's no condemnation. Somebody says, well, I feel condemned. If you're trusting in Christ alone as your Savior, then this condemnation should not have as strong an effect on you. If you're someone who hasn't yet come to salvation, that condemnation will draw you to Christ. To be under the condemnation of God is actually a realization of your true state before God. Some of us had to feel that condemnation in a very severe manner because we were so self-righteous and so full of our own self-importance when it came to our religion. So God heaped the condemnation, if I can put it like that. But there's something else. There's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, and there's no eternal damnation for those who are justified by faith in Christ alone. None. There's no damnation. There's no eternal hell for those who are justified by faith and have peace with God through Jesus Christ. It's a guarantee. It's a certainty. And to not be damned, to not be fearful of dying in our sin and going to eternal damnation and judgment, what a wonderful thing. No damnation. God no longer has, as it were, anything against us. We're now in Christ. So there's no condemnation. There's no damnation. There's never a moment in time, and there'll never be any possibility in eternity. As this is the last thing, there's no separation. There's no separation. We live in very strange times in the world. We also live in strange times in our time in churchianity, if I can call it that. There's no separation from God if we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. But the only reason we're in Christ Jesus our Lord is because we're justified by faith alone in Christ Jesus our Lord. The devil is always so busy. He has so many ploys. Sometimes he tempts us and we wonder whether we have sinned ourselves out of salvation. That's impossible. But the evidence of being a true Christian in regards to temptation and sin is that we want to be forgiven of it. We don't want to wallow in it. We never had pigs where we lived, but where we lived a few years ago, we didn't live far from a pig farm. And the one thing I noticed about pigs was they love wallowing in the muck. And you've probably seen it as well. And sadly, some people think that if they wallow in the muck of sin, then they prove they're justified by faith. That's not true. A true believer will try and get out of that particular situation as quickly as they can and get back and walking with God. There's no separation. The devil also condemns us, or tries to condemn us, sorry, by reminding us of our past. Well, if you've done this in the past, then you're guilty and you can never be justified by faith alone in Christ alone. And if we were trusting in our own righteousness, he'd be right. Or our own religion, or our own Christianity. But we're not. To be justified by faith alone, in Christ alone, means that the devil's assaults and attacks have no lasting effect. And there's one other thing. The devil tells us of the guilt within. Where should we look? The old hymn tells us. Upward I look and see him there who made, well, he forgave all my sin. So there's no condemnation, there's no damnation, and there's no separation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And this is why this gospel is so important. Yes, for the guilty sinner needing peace with God, but also for the troubled believer who lacks that peace in their heart. If I know Christ, if I am truly trusting in Christ tonight, then I have nothing else to fear. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Perhaps there's someone here and you've known something of the brokenness of a sinful life, and you feel helpless, and you feel lost. You may say to yourself, what can I do? You can come to the Lord tonight in your own heart, between you and him, and say, oh Lord, I know you know all my sins and all my faults, and I am guilty as charged. But I read here in this text that I can be justified freely by thy grace through Jesus Christ, and I can have peace with God through the same Saviour. O Lord, be merciful to me and show me that there is salvation even for me through thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's prayers like that that God not only hears, but he answers according to his holy purpose and grace. Indeed, O Lord, on Christ the solid rock we stand, because all other ground is sinking sand. We're thankful that we are justified freely by thy grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, that we can go into this new week knowing that thou art with us, and thou wilt keep us, and thou wilt bless us. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.